Good morning. When I was in university, I lived at Conrad Grable University College, which is a Mennonite residence at the University of Waterloo. For the first 2 years, I lived in residence, where I shared a room with one other person, but all of our meals were served in the cafeteria. Common areas were cleaned and taken care of by others. So it was in my third year I moved into the Grable Apartments, where I had my first experience with a real co-living situation. I had my own room, but I shared the rest of the apartment with three other girls. Everything started out great, as I thought it would. I mean, come on, we're all Grable people. So we shared a common faith background and ideas about the world. We all came from white middle-class families. Really, we were about as similar as you can get. Then I started noticing things. Certain people went through toilet paper really quickly. Don't they know that's wasteful? I mean, come on. And then other of them wanted to shut the blinds during the day. Didn't they value natural light? And somebody just thought it was crazy that I put the rinsing water in a bin and wanted me to just have water running and do it that way. I mean, don't they know about conserving water? The biggest conflict came with Laura. She was very particular about cleaning the kitchen and used lots of very harsh chemicals to do so. At first, I didn't say anything, but this was happening every day. My mom was living with cancer at the time, and she was always standing on her organic soapbox about natural cleaning solutions. Didn't Laura know that these chemicals caused cancer? They were killing my mother? I stewed and stewed about it, which was only made worse by the fact that this was emotionally charged and tied to my mother's illness. So, of course, finally I snapped and talked to her about it in a very rude, emotionally charged way. I was basically, to be honest, trying to embarrass her and get her to see how wrong her way of doing things was. I was helping to change the world by correcting her ways. So, how humbled was I when she explained to me that she had had an uncle who died of food poisoning, and she grew up in a house where they were very careful and diligent about cleaning their kitchen thoroughly. It had been ingrained in her to do so, to do what she was doing. She was actually quite upset with me because of my lack of food handling safety. I left the conversation perplexed. I was so sure I was right and that I was justified in being angry at her and she had the wrong way of doing things. I was so sure that she was just ignorant and too lazy to clean without chemicals. I hadn't even thought that maybe she had a good reason to do what she was doing. I'm sure that you can think back to your first time living with someone other than your parents and your siblings. Maybe it was a roommate, maybe it was your spouse. I'm sure there were things that they did, and maybe things they still do, that drive you crazy, but they think it's absolutely normal. Then you meet their family and you start to understand some things. It's not wrong, it's just different. I didn't have the one universal right way of cleaning the kitchen. My opinion of what was right was shaped by my family situation and my background, as was Laura's. She was just as firm in her belief as I was in mine, just because of the families we grew up in. Our kitchen cleaning conflict is representative of many small issues that I'm sure you spend your time stewing over in your life. In Romans, we can look at what Paul talks about, what people choose to eat or not eat, as representative of these issues. I think these problems are based on the same foundation as the really big conflicts in the world, the big feuds, the big wars, a failure to see each other as human, to admit that our way might not be the best way, and to try to understand where the other person is coming from. My kitchen story is about two white, middle-class, 20-year-old Mennonite girls. Even with all of those similarities, there were still so many differences. It's no wonder there is so much conflict in our world. There are people of different colors, nationalities, sexual orientation, gender, income level, the list goes on, and we are all trying to live in this world together. Some of us are even trying to make it a better place. Some of us are even trying to work together to make it a better place. How is this possible if we are all just so different? And even worse, when many of us think that our way of doing things is right. As Mennonites, we believe living as Christ intends us to live means living as peacemakers. Jesus calls us to be peacemakers, to turn the other cheek, to love our enemies. We often think of this in the big contexts. We are already doing this. We are pacifists because, while I'm not in the military, I'm not supporting the military. But are things that we are doing in our life, views that we have, when we insist on our own way, are we perpetuating violence in our world? The fundamental core of peacemaking is being open and willing to listen to one another without judgment, to listen to others to really understand them rather than push our own agenda around. The problem is, as North Americans, we are raised to believe we live in the best place in the world. The way we live makes so much sense. We're so lucky to live here. It's our job to help the rest of the world experience the great fortune and wisdom that we have. Then, even within our own country, we are raised to believe this is true. And then even our own province and county and city and church and family, we have it all figured out. We do things the right way. This starts when we are young. Think of any Disney movie or any action movie. There's always the good guys and the bad guys, the good side and the bad side, the dark and the light. And obviously we're the good guys, right? They're the bad guys. But who is it to say that we are actually Han Solo and Luke Skywalker? Who is to say that we aren't the Empire? This way of thinking, that we do things the right way, is a huge hindrance to living life as a peacemaker, to living the life that Jesus called us to live. These beliefs are so ingrained in us that there's a good and a bad, that we usually don't even realize that we believe them until we are faced with an alternate reality. We unknowingly become bigoted and self-righteous. When faced with something different, we become defensive. We didn't even know there was a different way of cleaning a kitchen, or eating a meal, or driving in traffic, or greeting someone for the first time. Seeds of distrust take root, and all of a sudden, isolating yourself from others can be rationalized. Keeping to yourself and your people, that makes good Christian sense. And war and violence can seem just. I really think this is a problem we all face. Many of us would call ourselves pacifist Mennonites who don't believe in war and violence, but we are never really faced with having to make good on these beliefs. However, I believe that the roots of pacifism begin with your everyday life, with expressing a desire to get to know and understand others from all different walks of life. And this can really only happen if you get out of your comfort zone. That's something I talk about a lot with my students. You can ask them. So how do you do this? How do you get out of your comfort zone? Well, I have a few ideas for you. The first one is simple. Travel. Travel, travel, travel. Travel in Ontario, Canada, or internationally. Travel for business, pleasure, or mission work. With family, with friends, or alone. With a structured schedule or no plans, with a tight budget or without one, to rich countries or poor countries. Find ways and make it a priority to travel. First of all, I think this is very beneficial to your own connection with God. Seeing the world inspires wonder and awe, whether it is a deep forest in Essex County, or a mountain peak in Alberta, or a bustling city in Asia. Our God is an awesome God. As novelist Gustave Flaubert said, travel makes one modest. You see what a tiny place you occupy in the world. More than this, though, I truly believe traveling is a pacifist activity, or rather that it promotes pacifism. I believe that travel has made me a better peacemaker and more grounded in my beliefs that there is no such thing as a just war. All of my travels have taught me that there are so many ways of living life, and that the way I was raised is just one of millions of interpretations of what is best. A best way or a right way does not exist. For example, there is a North American stereotype that people from France are smelly and don't shower. When I lived in France on exchange, I realized, yes, most French people only shower 2 or maybe 3 times a week, and they wear the same outfits way more often than we would ever deem socially acceptable. I remember my exchange student, you know, I was in grade 11, and she wore that when she met my friends for the first time, and she wore that exact same outfit on the first day of school, and I'm like, you can't do that. It was just so different. But think again. They actually think that it's gross that we shower so often and that our skin is dry and our hair is brittle from showering too often, and we just buy cheap clothes for the sake of having more items in our closet. Okay, touche, France, touche. Or what about Chinese people and their driving? That is also a bad stereotype that you can hear muttered from time to time, always by white people, of course. But when I went to China, I realized that their rules of the road are just different than ours. They are only actually responsible for knowing what is going on with the vehicle in front of them. And everyone does this, so it works. They're not responsible for knowing about the vehicles behind them. So their way of driving to me seemed chaotic at first, but they all drive really slowly, and it all seemed to work. I didn't see any accidents. I'm sure my aggressive North American driving style, if put to the test in China, would have been met with smirks and muttered comments about that white lady driver. When you travel, you see all different types of people, as people, in their own environment, where they live. You see that they are people that love their families, just like you do. You make yourself vulnerable to their way of life, and it is scary and life-changing. And oh, so important. I feel that I have such a deeper understanding of how different people can be and why this is so important to a healthy world, a world that God intended. Seeing these differences has forced me to care about issues that I may have never considered. I now understand the feeling that new immigrants who are fully educated in their own language must have when they try to communicate in English. The embarrassed, stupid feeling a person gets when people just try to talk louder at you until you understand their point. Or when others don't understand a word you're saying in your clearly inadequate accent. When I am in uncomfortable places or situations while traveling, I get the temptation to judge others as different and just crave normal people who do things the way I'm used to. But God is calling us away from that thinking. Paul's words in Romans 14 are addressing the transitional nature of that time, where many converts to Christ were passing from the Mosaic regime to the Christian age. Because of the diverse backgrounds, religious and cultural differences, on the parts of both the Jews and the Gentiles, many problems arose that threatened the unity of the body of Christ. Paul strongly admonishes the people to be united in matters that do not affect the integrity of the Christian faith, particularly the eating of certain foods or the honoring of certain days. Maybe I am stretching the meaning a bit, but I think that this can be extended to other non-important issues, such as how often I shower or how people drive. We are meant to be patient and non-judgmental, and it is so much easier to be that way if you get out of your comfort zone and really try to understand others. Really, it's painful to be out of your comfort zone, especially for extended periods of time. I had a huge breakdown in China because this culture shock was so strong. Nothing prepared me for how different it would smell. I just never thought about how different it would smell. And during my 3-month France exchange, I often retreated to my computer to talk to friends in English. We used to have to go to an actual computer to do that, to feel connected with what I felt was normal. But as we know, growth is painful. But we are called to love one another, our friends and our enemies. I know from talking to Johnny Weidman, my brother-in-law, who is now the director of the social justice-based Theater of the Beat, that his whole life was changed by traveling to Guatemala for 5 weeks with MCC. He saw the effects of war firsthand, got to know the Guatemalans personally, and talked to them about their struggles. This experience changed him from a just war theorist to an active pacifist. One trip changed his whole life. I know there are many reasons not to travel, work schedules and cost, but I challenge you to look for opportunities. Keep your eyes and your ears open. Most of my traveling experiences have been very low cost or even free. Some quotes about travel. Certainly, travel is more than seeing the sights. It is a change that goes on, deep and permanent, in the ideas of the living. Nobody can discover the world for somebody else. Only when we discover it for ourselves does it become common ground and a common bond, and we cease to be alone. Travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness, and many of our people need it sorely on these accounts. Broad, wholesome, charitable views of men and things cannot be acquired by vegetating in one little corner of the earth all one's lifetime. That one's Mark Twain. Perhaps travel cannot prevent bigotry, but by demonstrating that all people cry, laugh, eat, worry, and die, it can introduce the idea that if we try to understand each other, we may even become friends. It's Maya Angelou. Okay, so maybe some of you hate to travel, or maybe some of you aren't able to travel for many reasons. So what are some other ideas to get out of your comfort zone? Recently, I have found that there are a lot of ways to travel just here in Essex County. In June, I took a group of students on a service and learning trip to Windsor. You often think you have to go to Toronto or Chicago or a huge city to do this, but there are lots of opportunities in Windsor. The students were amazed at how many different types of neighborhoods and people there were there. Being Leamington kids, they had only really been to Windsor for the mall and the movies, most of them. Perhaps the most influential part of the trip was a tour we took with Bob Cameron of the Downtown Windsor Community Collaborative. Bob moved from his house in the suburbs of Windsor to a beautiful home on Victoria Avenue in downtown Windsor to act as a lighthouse there in the core. He opens up his home twice a week to anyone who wants to come for a hot meal and a Bible study. He spends his day wandering the streets downtown and gets to know the people and their problems. He has started many community gardens to turn strangers into friends. He and his family regularly pray with people who show up at their door asking for help. Bob believes in building neighborhood community and does this by valuing and loving people from all backgrounds. As he walked us through the downtown of Windsor, the kids couldn't believe he knew where all the drug houses were, but they really couldn't believe that he called the people that lived there his friends. In their reflections they wrote, some of the comments were, "I never thought you could know the neighborhood so well." Another said, "I never thought that people could be that welcoming and so not judgmental at all." This is something we can all do. Anyone, Bob is in Windsor, you can email him and set up this thing just for yourself or your family or a small group. It's part of his mission, what he does. Or you can just go do this on your own. But what about your own neighborhood where you live? How well do you know the people there? Do you try to get to know them? You can travel right here in Leamington. Visit a Mexican market, or go to a Lebanese restaurant, or get to know the woman that's selling you produce at the market. My mom made good friends with her favorite market vendor to the point where she actually started driving my mom to her chemo appointments and spending time with her in the hospital, and she was of Iraqi background. All of this started from my mom just striking up a conversation with her as she bought her peppers and radishes. Another idea is to visit and volunteer at local service organizations. We donate a lot of money to these places, which is great, but actually going and spending time with the people who enjoy those meals at St. John's Anglican Church, that opens up your eyes in a whole new way. Or hearing a homeless teenager talk at the bridge is much more difficult than dropping off some craft dinner for them, but it can be much more inspirational. Don't just see it as you helping them either. See it as an activity to deepen your love, compassion, and kindness towards God's people. Finally, when you don't have time to travel within your own county, or if that's just too much to get out of your comfort zone, there are still the people that you see and converse with on a regular basis. Your coworkers, your fellow church members, and even your own family. How much do you really know and understand about them? Do you work with people from other backgrounds? Ask them about their countries of origin, the food they eat, the holidays they celebrate. Become curious. As it says in Romans, God invites them to his table too. We are not permitted to insist on our own ways, so learn about theirs. Forget about trying to settle what's right for each other. Put your energy into getting along and encouraging others. And within your own close relationships, with your spouse, your parents, your siblings, and your children, try to remember that we are all just doing our best. Don't jump on them if they do something you don't agree with, even if they're in a bad mood. Nothing has taught me the importance of this more than becoming a parent. Consider this an official apology to all parents ever for me judging anything ever about parenting. Every kid and every family is different. This experience has just further ingrained to me the importance of showing the love of Christ and being a peacemaker by trying your best to understand rather than criticize. As Paul says, where does that leave you when you criticize a brother or condescend a sister? Looking pretty silly. Not only that, but this is the same fuel that starts the fires of conflict and war around the world. To change anything in the world, we have to start with ourselves. So this week, let's try to remember that we don't have all the answers, we don't live in the best country in the world, and we don't deserve more of God's love than others. Let's begin with the roots of peacemaking and pacifism, and listen to and show God's love to others as Jesus did, unconditionally. Amen.